Hello and welcome to this Yellow and Blue podcast. I'm Venkat. I will be your host, and I'm joined by my co-host Srini. Hi, Srini. How are you?
I'm good, Venkat. It's been a good weekend. Looking forward to all the upcoming cricket, the World Cup, the Border Gavaskar Trophy.
Yeah, cricketing wise, it's been a rather quiet and subdued weekend, you should say. You know, there's not much action except probably BBL, but otherwise, you know, it has been quite. We are waiting in anticipation of the India Border Gavaskar Trophy, India versus Australia.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Obviously, starts on the 9th of February. There's a lot of normally you would say, like, you know, just any India-Australia series over the last decade or so has been a blockbuster series just by itself. But obviously, there's a lot more riding for India on this series in terms of the World Test Championship possibility, like, you know, the potential final.
Definitely, we will look into that. But first, the most important, development in cricket is our Indian women are playing the World Cup, and so we could start by looking at how that team is going to, what their chances are, what's the squad going to look like, what are our strengths, and so we could look a little bit into that and move to the Border Gavaskar Trophy at the second half of this podcast probably.
Yeah, we can. I mean, it's a good place to start with, especially on the back of the wider things that's happening within the women's cricket in India. But we'll touch on the WPL auctions, some of the coaching setups, etc. as we go. But yes, to start with the T20 World Cup, on the back of the Under-19 World Cup win for India.
Of course. I mean, the news hasn't been that great for India, especially if you're following closely today. India lost their practice match against Australia. The fast bowling form seems to be of concern. The openers, especially Smriti Mandhana, openers and Smriti Mandhana haven't been really great in terms of recent form. I hope they kind of peak in the right spot and in the right place in the tournament. This is just the warm-up games. One shouldn't be too concerned about that. But if you go by the recent form, there's definitely a cause for concern, especially around the fast bowling department as well as the opening batters department.
Yeah. Just looking at today's warm-up game against Australia, you know, no runs scored by Jemima, no runs scored by Smriti Mandhana. Yeah. Definitely a cause for concern in terms of, you know, both of their form.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Smriti Mandhana, especially last three games, she's been out for single digit, two ducks as well in that. And except that 74 not out versus West Indies, all her scores have been single digit in the last 10 games, which is obviously worrying. But I'm sure these guys are champions. You know, they will turn it around and peak at the right place, at the right time. So that's the hope. But definitely given by their recent form, with the exception of Harmanpreet Kaur, I think others have been really struggling with that.
Yeah, Shefali Verma is probably the one. You know, she's coming both on the back of some runs in the Under-19 World Cup and also as captain winning the Under-19 World Cup. So she's probably the one that's coming in with a lot of confidence. So from an opening perspective, that you hope that opening position is someone that's good. So you just need... Smriti Mandhana sometimes tends to remind me of Shikhar Dhawan, you know. He just used to love an ICC tournament. It just used to come into form as soon as it was an ICC tournament. So hopefully, like, you know, Smriti Mandhana, something similar, like, you know, with the ICC tournament. The first game for India starting, I think India's first game starts on the 12th of February, isn't it? This is the tournament starts. India-Pakistan on Sunday.
Of
So I guess in some ways, you know, that's a perfect start. You know, you put India against Pakistan, whether it's the men's, the women's, there's always a lot riding on it, and that should probably be the one that should bring some of the players who are not in form as well into form.
You'd hope. I mean, I hope that the gravity of that tournament, I would say it is not, you know, in the same league as we am seeing that is the Pakistan women's team is not as strong as the Pakistan men's team. And so that, you know, is slightly a different contest. When you talk about India-Pakistan in the men's version, it's more evenly matched, especially given the background of World Cups and whatever. But I think in the women's contest, India has a perfect start. And I hope, you know, they go on to stamp their authority and start positive in that game.
I mean, they only have one more warm-up on Wednesday before the start of the tournament on Sunday. Tournament for India on Sunday, which is against Bangladesh. Possibly an option for them to
Definitely. Yeah, the key thing is Australia aren't in the same group as us. So, you know, in our group, it's England, India, Ireland, Pakistan, and West Indies, of which you would think that England, India are the favorites, with Pakistan probably, you know, the close third. And if you look at the other group, which is Australia, Bangladesh, New Zealand, South Africa, and Sri Lanka, you would then think Australia, of course, New Zealand, with South Africa being the close third. So, yeah, let's hope it is that way, rather than anything.
In theory, like, you know, if you are looking at this, depending on how you would say Australia and New Zealand are the favorites to go through from that group, and India and England to go through from this India's side of the group. And then depending on how they finish, you know, it could potentially be, yeah, the chances do are there for an India-Australia semi-final or an India-Australia final.
Yeah, there will be a semi-final or final, definitely, provided we go ahead and win at least two or three games. Two games, minimum three, would be ideal.
I mean, you would expect India to win Ireland, Pakistan, and West Indies, and possibly England, you know, but for sure, like, you know, these three games, and that's why I was saying, like, you know, depending on how it's almost like how the India-England result goes will decide, like, you know, who tops the group.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what it does look like. And England will definitely feel that they have some scores to settle, given that the under-19 World Cup was very widely watched and they beat Australia. So I don't know how many players in England under-19 team go to play the senior cricket, but at least India have at least two players playing from there. So
I don't think there's anybody from the under-19s that is actually playing in the England women's. India are only the two ones that go through. There's potential, like, you know.
I was just going to say quickly that, you know, it's a World Cup. It is T20. Things can turn around in 3-4 deliveries, one hat-trick here, or even two quick deliveries, getting two wickets, or a drop catch, or miss stumping. Everything can cost. So hopefully, you know, India stay tight and have a very positive start. I mean, I think if you score 25, 30 in the first six overs, I think what I've noticed is, especially with the loss of one wicket or so, you do then go on to post a decent, respectable total.
Yeah. The interesting, you know, sort of an odd one is, we touched about the India-Australia warm-up game, but there have been obviously some of the other warm-up games.
Yeah.
And England versus South Africa. Like, you know, England scored 246, South Africa scored 229 and lost by 17. So in reality, India are the ones who've like really scored quite close. So like, you know, they were bowled out for less than 100. Even the other game, New Zealand versus West Indies.
Yeah.
New Zealand scored 123, West Indies 91, you know, sort of, yes, less than 100, but they were like, you know, close. India, as you said, like, you know, right, you said Bangladesh and Pakistan, another close game, you know. So India, the just looking at the scorecard, you know, I didn't watch the game, wasn't following it, but just looking at the scorecard, the last 4.5 overs, they gave something like 50 runs to the
eight-wicket
partnership.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, death bowling has always been a concern. Before we get into that, I was looking at and following some tweets around this. Somebody tweeted, Australia scored and India lost by this. I don't even want to see this pitch again or something like that. I think there is something about the pitch. Of course, if you know, depending on the coverage and the highlights, if we catch up the highlights, we'll have more insight. But based on the Twitterati, it does go to show that the, you know, the pitch has been horrendous.
Yeah, I mean, well, just looking at the scores and stuff like that, you know, so many of Indian players single digit score. And to be honest, like, you know, even if you look at Australia as well, there's so many of the single digit. I mean, Beth Mooney and Ashley Gardner scored initially like in a few runs, and then obviously Georgia Wareham and Jess Jonathan. On one hand, you say you can say like, you know, India's dead bowling should have got, but then you can also say, well, did they, again, having not watched the game, it's hard for us to say.
Yeah,
they just throw around their bat, and you know, sometimes that happens in terms of. Because I'm looking at all the players, even the Australian kind of, you know, quite a number of balls, but not a lot of runs.
We did discuss this in the before the start of recording, right? I mean, it's not only the single-digit scores, but also the recent form of some of the players are also a concern. Yes, of course, you know, we are not going by just one failure in this game. Or win in the setup, but it's also to do with the one of the recent form. If you go back and look at the last five or six games played, Smriti Mandana, Jimmy Ma, everybody have you know, consistently struggled to post a decent score. But I think moving on from you know, looking at it from a more positive aspect, I would say, you know, there is WIPL. Auction that is going to be on February 13th. There have been already columns written which says, oh, this is a distraction. I'm sure it is, but not necessarily for Indian players, I suppose, because everybody is picked up in the from the squad. So that should settle some nerves.
It will, but I guess it's a distraction, but it's also kind of, you know, this is obviously the first time, you know, the dynamics change, even if within the Indian women team, you will find, like, you know, some players going for a lot of money, others not so much money. It is life-changing, but it's also, it's like, you know, you will have those dimensions. I mean, this is not the first. I think it was the Under-19 World Cup.
Yeah.
At least a couple of, you know, possibly might have been last year, and then probably the one before that as well. Like, you know, there was lots of, I remember the likes of Ashwin Jaiswal, etc., as you're saying, like, you know, they were glued to the screen when, you know, the auction was going on, because it used to be in February a couple of years ago, and etc. So it's not the first time that during the World Cup. But yeah, for the women, this is all entirely new. It's the first time.
Yeah.
So there is, especially, I guess, the foreign, you know, while they've seen the men's IPL, I don't know whether how much the Indian women in terms of, you know, they've seen this regularly being in India, etc. But still, ultimately, when it kind of your name goes there and people are bidding for you and things like that, I'm sure it will be a distraction.
Yeah, no matter how professional you are going to be, I think Harmanpreet Kaur already said, you know, our focus is ICC tournaments. We got to get used to this. This is going to be, it's here to stay, right? So that's something that's really good if that message is being impressed upon the team. But also, yeah, a lot of couple of clubs. I think Mumbai, a couple of teams have already started looking at their coaching staff. Chiran Goswami joins,
Mumbai.
Edwards in Mumbai WPL team. So I think the World Cup winning under 19 coach Nushin Al Khadir, and then joins Rachel for Gujarat Giants. So I think with, of course, Mithali Raj being their mentor and advisor. So they've started pretty strong. Rachel Haynes, just retired last year, has scored, tons and tons of runs. I think pretty good average. So I think people are starting to put together their teams and starting to plan about, go about their business, I suppose. So
I think the tournament is not far off, starting on the 4th of March and then finishing on the 26th. So it's a good segue in the sense of, the Women's T20 World Cup finishes and then they go into the WPL, the WPL, and then we segue into the IPL. So,
yeah. 1 week gap between women's and men's. So I think it would be interesting for, at least for us, because the Border Gavaskar Trophy is starting, then Women's World Cup, and then, Women's IPL. So we will not be having the weeks like that where we had this week, where there is not much cricket being played. And, I was forced to watch some highlight packages from South Africa T20 League and International T20 League. But anyway, all that is a good segue. Let's see how the IPL, Women's IPL auction pans out, and we will sure cover in our podcast. But moving on, big thing in the diary of all cricket lovers, I think Stephen Smith said, if we can win in here, it will be bigger than Ashes. So, yeah, and Australia have already started the tour with a couple of injuries. Mitchell Stark is going to be missing out. Pat Cummins is going to be missing out. No, not Pat Cummins. What am I talking about?
Josh Hazlewood.
Josh Hazlewood. Yeah. I hope Pat Cummins is not.
If Pat Cummins is missing out, then that would be like, they've got no. Mitchell Stark, Josh Cummins, Josh Hazlewood, Pat Cummins, Cameron Green. I think they'll probably have to field a team of all spinners. You're right. Like, in some ways, the first test sets the marker for the rest of the series. I mean, India, as a minimum, need to win 3-1 to qualify, or a 4-0. The 2-2 will also do for India, but then they become dependent on results elsewhere in terms
of
Sri Lanka traveling away to New Zealand, and then West Indies are going over to South Africa. So those games, those test series also. But I think even a simple 3-0 sorts, 3-0 means both India and Australia go through. Australia just need at least one draw. That's all they require.
Yeah.
As long as they don't lose 4-0.
They're not whitewashed.
If they lose 4-0, I think then they are hoping Sri Lanka don't win 2-0, so that there's a bit of, me, the first test will set the direction of the series. I think that's always been the case. It's different when we travel to, I guess it's the same thing when we travel to Australia, the home. I would probably say it the other way around. If India win the first, say, test in Australia, you would still think that the home team will come back. Here also, it's probably the same thing. But I this series seems a lot more like, Australia are batting heavy. And we have seemed to be like, I wouldn't say we're probably balanced, I think we are more balanced, whereas I just feel like, from given all of the injuries that we've just talked about, to Josh Hazlewood, Mitchell Stark, Cameron Green, etc. Other than Pat Cummins and Nathan Lyon, the rest of the Australian bowling attack doesn't have the experience of bowling in India.
Yeah, that's true. Pat Cummins and Nathan Lyon has bowled pretty well in India.
Yeah, those are the two. So pick up the likes of Scott Boland, for example.
Scott Boland has not made an international debut yet. He has played international games for Australia in
Australia. Outside of Australia,
done that. Yeah, I mean, they are struggling for bowling, Australia. But India, you know, having watched Indian cricket for this long, when the attack is like really good, they go on to perform really well. And if you have those, second in line players, India have that in the past. I've seen, this has been my personal experience, is that, you know, you would have them falter. They kind of make sure that people who are struggling for form come to form in India. But I think this is the India of the world. I'm talking about 10, 15 years back now. Things have changed.
Yeah, not really. I mean, even if you think like, you know, the likes of Joe Root's fight for in Ahmedabad Cup, Michael Clark's, you know, 3-4 or 5-4 a few years ago, etc. Yeah, things to mind. You know, India can just, to part-time spinners, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll just hand over wickets and etc. But we'll cut India's 11 in a minute, our probable 11. But yeah, I'm just trying to think of Australia's possible probable 11, if you like.
I think from obviously David Warner to start with.
Yeah.
So David Warner is definitely opening the game. I don't know if they would open with Usman Khawaja, because both are left-handers, but Usman Khawaja will come down at one down.
Peter Hanscom probably might be an option, or obviously there's Matt Renshaw as well.
Yeah.
But again, yeah, I'm thinking, I mean, Matt Renshaw is left-hander. See, this is the other side. Just looking at their squad, they've got so many left-handers. Yeah.
That's what, it's interesting how they're going to play and pack it, because you have Ashwin, who has got the best record against left-handers in world cricket. Whether India will choose, but we'll come to that part when we look at India's bowling and India's probable 11. But sticking to Australia for a second, of course, you know, they do have a lot of left-handers, and India will definitely be eyeing that. But it's also, in a test game, if they do get set, if you do have right-left combination going, it just quickly wears the opposition, yeah. You know that.
So, yeah, but a right-left combination to get to, like, you know, who's really... So, yeah, depending on Stephen Smith and Cam Green, you know, if they choose him purely as a batsman and not as kind of all-rounder, and Manas Labuschagne, obviously, like, you know, Manas and Steve Smith come in a bit of form behind them. Usman Khawaja's got, like, you know, quite a bit of form as well.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at, they are so left-hand heavy. I mean, let's go with David Warner, Mitchell Stark, Matt Renshaw, Usman Khawaja, Travis Head, Alex Carey, Ashton Agar, if he plays. You know, all of them are, like, you know, left-handers. They are going to have at least 4 or 5 left-handers. I have a feeling Ashwin's going to eat those left-handers.
Yeah, exactly.
Breakfast, lunch and dinner.
Yeah, I think already pitch condition will decide our 11, is what Pat Cummins has said. So that kind of, you know, says that they're not going to do anything until that that day morning. So that's what it means.
Yeah, I'm sure toss will be a factor, and, you know, India, if they win the toss and decide to bat first,
of course,
it will definitely set the tone for the series.
It's baking hot as well. If you look at the weather, you know, it's like 36 degrees centigrade. That is, it's just warm and hot. So it will be baking hot.
Yeah. I mean, Nagpur is like, yeah, it'll definitely be hot. Um,
it is going to be hot. The pitch condition is going to be, I mean, it's going to start turning from day one is what I would think. Yeah, looking at the, it's really going to be a struggle for fast bowlers. We can say that. I mean, so there'll not be much. I mean, Australia would pick at least two spinners, if not, you know, have a bowling option in Marnus, Labuschagne, or Steve Smith coming and turning their hand. Probably, you don't know, in addition to the regular bowlers because of the weather.
Yeah, it's been a mixed bag for India there. You know, they've lost one, but then generally, like, I think Australia played only one test in Nagpur, and that was like a long, long time ago.
Yeah, things have changed in the way, you know, the test match wickets are prepared, and you always think Chennai is a turning wicket, and now, you know, it is not history. I mean, history is not something to go by. We've had some ups and downs and inconsistencies in the preparation, in how BCCI, you know, wants to, you know, conduct the pitch. And there is also increased scrutiny from ICC now. So there is that as well. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully it's a sporting wicket, but one that favors India is my ask.
Yes, a nice one. The last time India played in Nagpur, the last test was about 5 years ago.
Okay.
Guess who scored a 200?
No.
King Kohli got 213.
I was thinking today morning, wouldn't it be nice if there is 300 in the, say, either Shubham Gill or one of these, you know, like Rahul, people who are struggling for form, especially in the first match, you know, you just go ahead and it's a dry condition. It's going to be possible. Bowlers are going to tire out. So unless the pitch really cracks open, it should be good to bat in the first couple of days.
Yes, if I look at India's batting in that game, you know, yeah. KL Rahul opened with Murali Vijay. You think, I mean, slightly switching to, like, you know, sort of India's 11, if you like, you can still say, like, you know, KL Rahul instead of Murali Vijay. You've got Shubman Gill, and then there was Cheteshwar Pujara and Virat Kohli.
Yeah,
and then you've got Ajinkya Rahane. So instead of Ajinkya Rahane, you probably say Surya Kumar Yadav, possibly, and Rohit Sharma was in the middle order at that time, so you could still play Rohit Sharma, can still play in the middle order. Ravichandran Ashwin, and then instead of Vridhiman Saha, you bring in Bharat, and then you had Ravindra Jadeja, Umesh Yadav, and Ishan Sharma, and stuff that you would have like Shami.
Shami is a decent bat. I mean, he can bat. Yeah, I think it will be interesting to see how who opens Rohit, and there are two openers. I mean, Rahul has opened in London when we had that test match in at large. So Rohit and Rahul is a possibility. Rohit and Shubham is a possibility, but Rahul coming down the order. One down is, of course, Cheteshwar Pujara, and then you have Virat Kohli at number four. KS Bharat is an interesting, whether they pick him instead of Ishan Kishan, who knows? You know, I going by Dravid's selection so far, I think they would opt out for a proper, let's say, technically sound keeper than a short format keeper, which is Ishan Kishan. I haven't, I'm not keeping experts to comment on either of, but I think it will be more favoring KS Bharat, at least for the first test. I don't know. What is your thought?
I would go with KS Bharat. I mean,
yeah.
In reality, he has been the incumbent. You know, he's been like, while Rishabh Pant's been the keeper, the last couple of series, you know, while we were away here in England, in Bangladesh, all of those series, he was the one, kind of the one in waiting, you know, the second. You just can't bring in Ishan Kishan. I know Ishan Kishan's, you know, probably, if real India wanted to go left field, I would go with Bharat as the keeper. And instead of, you know, there's this one spot which Shreyas Iyer, because of his injury, isn't playing. So we're thinking it probably will be Surya Kumar Yadav. you could play Ishan Kishan if you wanted, you know, as a left hander. But instead, I would just go with, like, you know, Surya Kumar Yadav can, you know, he's no mug with the bat when it comes to test, and he can turn the test on his head just like, you know, Rishabh Pant. So one of the biggest advantage of Rishabh Pant outside of the wicket keeping is his ability to, like, you know, turn the match on its head, play it almost factor. Like a T20. Yeah, the fear factor. Surya Kumar Yadav can bring in that. My 11, if you like, you know, would be like, you know, KL Rahul, Shubman Gill, Cheteshwar Pujara, Virat Kohli, even at that point, like, you know, Rohit Sharma, and then Surya Kumar Yadav. That's my sort of top six, if you like, in terms of batting.
So you open with Rahul and Shubham Gill and have Rohit Sharma come at middle order. Because he's good at spin, you reckon?
Yeah, he will. Oh, or even if it's second new ball is due, you know, as well as there. I do think, you know, well, that kind of then mates India will pretty much go with. If you go with the six batsmen, then you've got, like, you know, KS Bharat, and then you've got Ashwin, Jadeja, and then just Umesh and Shami. So actually going in with just four bowlers, depending on the pitch, I think four bowlers should be fine in India. The third spinner is always more often than not wasted.
Yeah, but then if you look at Akshar or Kuldeep, you know, Akshar Patel, maybe, you know.
You can, but the thing is, Akshar Patel and Jadeja, it's like, well, what's
it's
the
like difference? It's like a same. I think because Jadeja is coming, Akshar Patel, you know, naturally doesn't come in. But if you want an extra spinner, you could even pack Kuldeep Yadav and, you know, look at only two fast bowlers. Given the weather, given the pitch, I think they would probably go for three spinners in which Ashwin...
Yeah, but this is the thing, though. I mean, this is what I mean. Like, you know, if the pitch is... I saw an article saying... or Ravi Shastri saying, you know, he would like a pitch that turns from day one. And if it does look like a pitch that turns from day one, I really think a third spinner is wasted, because you want a third spinner when you think, like, it's not like a third seamer where, like, you know, you think the workload is a lot more. Yeah, you know, in India, the likes of Ashwin and Jadeja can keep just bowling on from one end.
From one end, yeah. Easily they'll bowl 15 overs at a stretch.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. But anyway, I think I get your point. If it is sharp, incisive attack, you don't need many of those. One or two would be good enough to you know, do the damage. I hear the point. Let's see.
If you go with that level, it's pretty much all right hand bar. Jadeja is the only left hander there.
Yeah.
So that kind of nullifies, in a sense, both the spinners that they're looking at, whether it's Todd Murphy, possibly there is talk that could Todd Murphy be the second spinner to Lyon.
Yeah.
But, you know, Todd Murphy is just, it's the same argument we just had for, like, you know, Jadeja and Akshar Patel, two left-arm darters. They are the same thing in terms of similar off-spin, you know, against a fully six, top six right-hand seven, even in fact, you know, and take Ashwin, the top eight will be fully, other than the inclusion of, who are we talking about from a left-hand perspective? Ishan Kishan. Unless you bring in Ishan Kishan, India's almost top eight, depending on Jadeja moving, or as a minimum, the top seven, will be right-hand.
Yeah, that's going to be something that probably the think tank would consider, and probably see if Ishan Kishan can get a go, and that he can provide the same fear factor as Pant. But I know Pant has got a very solid defense. I mean, as much as Pant lashes out, his defense is, I think, you know, on par with any other test player there. And so, you know, that also weighs. So there's a lot of, it's a very, you know, it's a very good headache to have, I would say, from an Indian standpoint, because you're almost spoiled for choice. A lot of people there can, except Pujara, Kohli, Sharma, because Rohit Sharma is the captain. With Shreyas Iyer's injury now, you have the things open up between Bharat, Ishan Kishan, how Ravichandran, Ashwin and Jadeja also play as batters. I think there's a lot more to this selection. It's a very tough one to get it right.
Yeah, it's, I mean, since we're talking about it, in my head I was thinking, like, really feel for Rishabh Pant. I really, really wish Rishabh Pant was playing this series. It would have been so, so exciting. God, it would have been so exciting, you know, having Rishabh Pant play at home against Australia.
Yeah, after what he did
in Australia.
I think that's the fact. I mean, the players will have a banter. They will talk about this. Already you can see people are trying to get into their heads. There's talk about Australia. I mean, India not bothering about test cricket or, you know, sporting wickets and whatnot. So
yeah. all the mind games have begun, but yeah, oh my God, yeah. How I would have loved to see Rishabh Pant playing this series. You know, the word X factor kind of, you know, gets used for various. He would have really been a proper X factor.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And the keeping, the one thing you don't want to, you know, kind of discount is the support that he provides the bowlers, from the keeping perspective, the constant chatter, banter, you know, keeping their energy up, especially when you're bowling in 37, 38 degrees. You need somebody to keep the morale up. I hope India has found that in Bharat will be finding it if he does debut, you know, he's going to be rather muted than if you compare Pant. But anyway, all will be known in the next 2-3 days how it goes.
Yeah, so again, it depends, like, isn't it, whether India will give a debut for two players in, like, you know, Shikhar Bharat and Surya Kumar Yadav in the same game. They may well give, you know, his Bharat obviously, like, you know, is played a little bit in terms of test wise, and interesting, like, you know, Surya Kumar Yadav hasn't found the same thing as he sort of same kind of batting or, you know, his form in the ODI format as he's got in the T20 format. You know, coming into the test, it'll probably be like, you know, I just think, you know, in the test match you might find it, I think he'll find it a bit more easier, you know, with this attacking as opposed to in the one-day format. So, yeah, really, really excited to, like, you know, look at the series of it.
I think that kind of, you know, we will definitely be covering, by the time we record the next podcast, we will have the result one way or the other, hopefully. You know, so that is, that's good. I think we are towards the end of the podcast. And Srini, over to you for any final thoughts or comments.
Yeah, no, final thoughts and comments. You know, I think, as I said, by the time we come record the next episode of the podcast, you said, you know, we'll probably, the first test would have been over and India would have played, the women would have played the first test against, the first match against Pakistan, and possibly, like, the auction for WPL would have been finished. So we'll have, like, you know, good ideas to which players are where. So we can have a look at all of those things in the next episode of the podcast. As usual, our request, you know, is if you like the sound of this podcast, do follow us, subscribe to us, leave your comments and thoughts on any of the podcast mediums that you download from, whether it's Apple Podcast, Google, Spotify, all the usual things. We are also on Twitter at Yellow and Blues. So do interact with us at Yellow and Blues. So until the next time with the first test result, we'll look forward to whatever you're doing. Have a good one. We'll speak to you next week. Take care. Bye.